On September 22nd of 1862, a president of the United States made a promise. He said that if any state failed to come back into the Union, that every slave within that state would be set free on January 1st of 1863. And people wondered what would happen with that. People wondered how that would work. On January 1st of 1863, he kept his promise and he declared the Emancipation Proclamation. It's a very interesting proclamation. As his own Secretary of State says, we have declared freedom to those we have no control over, and we have not freed those we have control over, because many slaves who were in Union states were not freed, only those in Confederate states that were not currently under Union control. So he made a promise, but it was a promise that was not yet experiencing its fulfillment. There were, at that time, approximately 4 million slaves within the United States. On the day of the proclamation, approximately 20,000 began to experience freedom. Nevertheless, the promise was made. And through great hardship over the next few years, freedom was brought to every slave. And eventually, with the amendment to the Constitution, brought to all slaves and forbidden within the United States. The possibility of freedom was a promise that was made. But when he made the promise and when he made the declaration, he didn't have the power to deliver it. But we have a Savior who's made a promise to us, and he has the power to deliver. He said, "The Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." And yet, as I speak that promise, I know I'm speaking to people who are wrestling with things from which you are not yet free. And so even as those slaves, many of them had not even heard the declaration, were not even aware that freedom was going to come to them. And even to many who had it come to them did not know what to do with it. I believe we find believers in the same spot today. But God has given us powerful promises. But they must be pursued to enter into the relationship that he has for us. So I'd like you to turn with me to John chapter 8, because I'm inviting you to become a person who pursues the promise, who pursues the many promises that God has made to us. Because freedom is available to every believer. Freedom is actually available to every person who would choose to become a believer. And God gives us some promises that we're going to look at today. And when you see the promise, I want you to realize is that's declaring to you a possibility. That's declaring to you a potential. But it must be united with faith in your heart to become your experience. It's a sad statement in Hebrews chapter 4. It says, speaking of the children of Israel, it says, "But the word that was spoken to them did not profit them, for it was not united with faith in those who heard." Isn't that a scary thought? That we could sit under the word and it might not profit us if it's not united with faith. And we'll be talking next week about that whole issue, that faith comes by hearing and how we can use the word to build your faith. But today I want to set you up with some promise that you might seek what Jesus Christ promises for you. Verse 31 of John 8. And Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we've never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. And the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. There is a slavery that still exists today, doesn't it? He says, if you commit sin, you're the slave of sin. But it is Jesus Christ's personal intention for you and I to walk in complete freedom. That's what he wants for you. That there is nothing that can hold you if you will come into that kind of relationship with him. There is a possibility. But notice who he was speaking to. He was speaking to those who had believed him. Now this is interesting because it says here he was speaking to those who said, you're the man. Who said, hey, you're the Savior. Who said, I accept you as Messiah. He said, he was speaking to those people. So if we were to translate that for us, who's he speaking to? That's us who claim to be believers, right? Now that's very interesting because he then says, if you abide in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine. He says, if you come into a different relationship with me, continue in my word, he says, then you will experience what it's like to be a learner of me. It is a sad thing in our culture that we have developed a reputation, believers have, of being people who preach a book but don't practice a book. I heard it again yesterday with someone I was sharing with, and that's what they said. You know, I walked away from the church because I got tired of seeing phonies. And I am glad to see, as I look across this congregation, a group of people who are being transformed by the truth. And I want to invite you, abound still more. I believe we can, by the power of Christ, change the reputation of believers in our community from being uncaring hypocrites to being compassionate servants by actually becoming that and living that out. And so he says, if you continue, all right? So genuine disciples continue in Christ's word and truth sets them free. Genuine disciples will continue in Christ's word and the truth will set them free. This is interesting because it links back to what we were talking about last week in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where he says, continue in the word which you have received. It's not good enough to start. Some of you got a few started projects at your house. Now, why are the wives looking at the husbands? What is that about? I saw those looks. I'm not even sure they were edifying. But we do, don't we? We've got stuff that we want to get done. He says, if you continue, he says, it's not enough to start with Christ. You have to continue. His invitation is that you would continue. So Jesus wants you free. Jesus offers you freedom. And true disciples will continue in his word. That becomes a responsibility. To stay in it, to live there, to sojourn. It means to dwell, like you live in a house. He says, take up residence in the Word of God. Consistency in coming to Christ's Word demonstrates sincerity. You see, you and I cannot follow Jesus Christ around the hills of Galilee, can we? Jesus came to his disciples and he says, follow me. It was very clear whether or not you were a disciple of Christ. Did you follow the dude that said he was Christ? It was pretty obvious who were his followers because they literally followed him. But people today will say, I'm following him. Well, how do we know? We can't see Christ. He says, well, they will follow my word. See, this is how you'll know you're my disciples. If you love one another, if you keep my commandments, it shows that you love me. If you're a person who abides in the word, because how do you think you can follow Christ if you don't present yourself to his word and let his word tell you what he wants done? Friends, He says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What do you know? Now notice, this is not what have you heard. That's a different word here. The word here is what have you experienced? What have you come to grip with understanding? In fact, the term here is a knowledge that is extremely personal. It is the same word that's used for the intimate relationship between a husband and his wife. And it says he knew his wife and she was with child. It's that kind of knowing. There is an exchange of life here. He says, have you come to know, if you come to experience, if you come to receive the truth, do not be satisfied to simply be saved. Get to know your Savior. One of the challenges sometimes that's put upon men or is that issue of, you know, the guy is in active pursuit of the lady until they get married. Isn't that right? And he bags the trophy and he goes on to other projects. That's not God's intention. You know, the idea is not just to be married, it's to live in a marital bliss, believe it or not. To live in a marital relationship, there is a choice to be made. And so, take time for Christ. Friends, nothing has transformed my life more, and my life continues to need lots of transformation, but than my time in the Word each day. When we talk about continuing, what I would encourage you to do this is have an appointment with Christ and keep it. Keep your appointments. You know, we call people up and we cancel appointments, isn't that right? Hey, I'm not going to be able to make it. But you wouldn't just stand somebody up without letting them know, would you? But at some point in your life, have you told the Lord, I will meet with you each morning? Have you said, I'm going to get back in the Word. I'm going to spend this time with you. And He is there waiting for you to meet with Him. Are you going to show up? I want to invite you to do that. To show up. To know the truth. Because that's where transformation comes from. It can renew your mind. Remember the verses in Romans 12, 1 and 2? Let's read them together. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. He says, I urge you to present yourselves to God. What I'm talking about in this idea of becoming a person who abides in the Word is that you would take time every day to present yourself afresh to God. So, what do you want from me? That's what I seek to do each morning, is that I will sit down with God and open up His Word and begin talking to Him. What is it that you have for me today? If He's the Lord and I'm following Him, don't I need direction every day? I don't know any other way to get it. And I have people tell me, hey, the morning is not my best time. I'm here to tell you, it may not be your best time, but it is your most important time. It's not the only time you can spend in the Word, but I will urge you to be in the Word every morning. It is biblical, all right, that day and night. And then you see the example that Jesus Christ said. He arose, it says, early before dawn and went to be with the Father. And I know some of you are not the early before dawn arisers, and I tend to be one of those, and I happen to be married to somebody who's not. And so we have to share some of that sensitivity on what time you arise at. But the issue of saying is, when you arise, will you seek the Savior? It will transform your life if you do. So my habit, and I would encourage you to have, is to present myself daily to the Lord in His Word and say, what do you have to say to me today? And to seek to absorb that, to hear from Him, because His Word will water my soul. And he says you're to continue in it. I was trying to think of how to illustrate this idea of continuing, and I thought, I have this plant that somebody gave me, and it's a beautiful plant. When I water it, it blooms, and when I don't, it doesn't. But I thought this is kind of an example of us, because you can sit here and, you know, you can pour water in, and do you notice where the water went? It just pours right out. See, you can come and you can read a few verses of the Bible, and they can run right through your life. But if you put yourself in it, and you stay in it, you abide in it, you let it be something that you allow to soak into your life, it will change you. It's not an instantaneous process. But the renewing of your mind is what's going to allow you to experience the will of God. That's what that verse said there in Romans 12. And so he says, continue, become one who knows what the will of God is. Because, what does he say here? The truth might make you free. What does it say? The truth will make you free. The truth shall make you free. And I speak to you this morning, and I know there's spots where we're saying, I'm not free. Don't blame God. Pursue God for the freedom. There is a freedom for any and every sin that you encounter. And by the way, most of those things are right up here, are they not? The lusts of the flesh, the jealousy, the pride issues, the fear issues, those are all in your head. Then you better do something with your head if you want it to follow the Savior. And you renew your mind to the Word. It will not happen apart from that. But truth has this funny thing it does. It reveals things as they truly are. Yeah. But here's the thing. When you go to the Word and it reveals things as they truly are, it can make you uncomfortable. Yeah. How many of you know what it's like to read the Bible and get uncomfortable really quick? Okay, I hope you have had that joyful experience, all right? Is that, you know what I'm talking about? There's that little awkward moment between you and God, and you feel a little bit of a finger in your chest saying, excuse me, I said, be anxious for nothing. Excuse me, I said, do all things without grumbling or complaining. Excuse me, I said, give thanks always. Excuse me, I said, forgive everyone who sins against you. He comes to us when we come to Him. But what kind of relationship do we have if we don't listen to Him? See, a lot of us talk to God. You know, we're more than happy to talk to God. Unfortunately, what oftentimes I find people doing is advising God. You know, God doesn't need your advice. He already knows what He's going to do today. Do you know that? He's already got the plan worked out. But we'll come there and say, hey, God, it'd be really nice if you would do this, and you would do this, and you would do this. Now, friends, it is okay to bring your request to God because God tells us to. But do you let Him bring His request to you? That's what taking time in the Word will do. It says, I want to know what He wants for me. And I don't think you would stay employed very long at any place of business if you didn't listen to what the boss had to say. It just doesn't work that way, does it? So, but we say He's the Lord, and so this is what He says here. He says, you are truly disciples of mine if you continue. If you'll become a person who lets the Word transform you, then it will show that you're really my disciple. Otherwise, you're just speaking words. And friends, I'm going to share something, and it may be uncomfortable, but that's okay, because the book is supposed to reprove and rebuke, isn't that right? If your life is not changing, you better check your pulse. Christ changes people. That's what He does. And if it's not changing, then you're not healthy, or maybe you're not even alive. You can say what you want to say, but Jesus Christ changes lives. He changes marriages. He changes workplaces. He changes thought patterns. He changes habits. He changes people. And so he says this, genuine disciples will continue in my word, and the truth will set them free. And now notice how they respond to this. This is great. And they said, and I'm going to put a little of that attitude in there, because I don't think this was just expressed back flatly. Oh, we're Abraham's offspring. How could you accuse us of being slaves? What do you mean we need to be free? There is nothing like the denial of sin in our lives, is there? Okay, I mean, yeah, we have never been enslaved. Excuse me. Let's check our history again. How many years did you guys live in Egypt? 400. Yeah, okay. And then when you got out, then you did that whole Judges thing. You remember that? Every 40 years, they were back in slavery to another captive group. And then about 722, the Assyrians came through and took away all of Israel. And then in 500, I think it was about 80 BC, the Babylonians came through and took out everybody that was left with hooks in their noses and in their backs. And the whole nation was scattered to the world. And then when they were allowed to regather, the Greeks came through again and took them over. And Jesus could have almost have said at this moment, excuse me, whose garrison is that next to the temple anyway? Because attached to the temple was a Roman garrison. They were still slaves. They were still under the thumb of Rome. And yet, like us, they said, we've never been enslaved to anyone. I don't have any sin in my life. I'm a Christian. Jesus forgave me all my sin. I don't know what your problem is. Right? Friends, Jesus says, if you commit sin, verse 34, you're a slave of sin. Everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. And the slave does not remain in a house forever. The son does remain forever. If the son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. Abiding in Christ's truth sets disciples free from sin. Abiding in Christ, and he is the truth, will set you free from sin. Believers, this is our emancipation proclamation. If the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. He says, I have freedom for you. He doesn't say, I have a dream. No, he says, I have a life. I have a freedom for you. And it's real. But you will never be free until you admit that you're enslaved. Isn't that the problem? If you have ever tried to deal with a friend or a family member and they have an addiction problem, what is the biggest problem? Part of the problem. Admitting there is a problem. Everyone is enslaved to sin. The Bible says there's none righteous, not even one. And it says the one who knows the right thing to do, James 4:17, and doesn't do it, it's what? Sin. I'm here to tell you something. I have a sin problem. Yeah. I'm here to tell you something else. You, all of you, have a sin problem. And so I want to invite all of us together to become people who will pursue a Savior who says, I can set you free from any sin problem. Everyone. You see, all sin is a lie. It deceives us, the sinner, into thinking something very interesting. That I can find meaning, life, satisfaction, and freedom where? Apart from God, the giver of life. That I can do it my way and it won't hurt. It won't be a consequence on me or anybody else. It'll be good. That goes all the way back to the garden. Has God said? Remember that Satan said that? He began challenging the truth of God. And that's what sin does. It's a deception that takes root in our lives. But we need to get the word in to deal with that. How can a young man keep his way pure, it says in Psalms 119? By keeping it according to thy word. Thy word I have hid in my heart that I may not sin. I have to put it in there because I have found that my biggest temptations to sin are not usually when my Bible's open. I still have temptations to sin when my Bible's open, but not usually my biggest ones. All right? So I have to put the word in my heart so when sin comes knocking, I send Jesus to answer the door. You let him answer the door when the devil knocks and the devil runs. It works that way. But listen, here's a thought that came to me this week. It may not be profound, but it struck me. Is that sin has a hold on you because you are holding on to sin. So what are you going to do about that? The truth can set you free. If there's a sin in your life and it's been there, it's not because Jesus hasn't pointed it out. It's because you haven't thrown it out. Are we willing to really deal with that stuff? I mean, this book says I'm to be slow to speak. Hello. That point of transformation has not yet fully occurred in this soul. But that's the Father's intention for me. Friends, go beyond awareness of sin to repentance of sin, to turn away from it and run away from it. He says, the slave will not remain forever. Friends, there is an eternal consequence to never coming under the authority of the Savior. It's to be put out of the house. Ishmael had that happen. He knew the Father, but he wasn't born of the promise. The Bible says you must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God. If you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, there's coming a day when you'll be put out of the house. But today is the day that you can join him as a son. For as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. For everyone who believes on him receives forgiveness of sin. So just admit it. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Lord, save me. Let's get this over with. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you have been dragging the feet. You've been dragging the chains. And it is time to let go of that and to go with God. Why? Because he's got a promise that if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus offers you freedom. Jesus offers you forgiveness. He said this in Romans 8. Read it with me, Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. There is a freedom for us. It comes as we believe on him and on his word. And I have found it to be so. That when I find myself anxious and I return to the promise, it says, pray, don't choose to be anxious, and I submit to that, I find peace. I find victory over my sin. It works. And yet there is much to be transformed in my life. How about you? Are you ready to take that step? Your life is not determined by chance. It's defined by choice. What choices are you making with truth? I invite you to seek the Savior in the Word, in reading, and for the next 40 days, in listening. That you become a person who says, I know what he said, and I will follow. My goal for you is not to get through the New Testament. My goal for you is to get to know the God of the New Testament and the Savior who died for you. And there's nothing else like it that'll set you free. Because truth transforms. It does. Truth transforms. Why? When you trust it. See, it's really this. Truth that is trusted transforms. I'm going to talk with you next week about that issue of trust, that issue of becoming a person whose faith is being built up by the truth of the Word of God. That I don't just keep holding on to an awareness, that I begin to step out of the boat and experience a walk with Jesus Christ. But to not accept Jesus Christ on His terms really is to reject Him. And so today I would invite you to accept Jesus Christ as Savior, as Lord, as the truth. And follow Him in His Word. Let's pray. As you bow your head this morning, I want to ask you a question. Have you trusted Christ as Savior? If you have, you can simply nod your head to Him. I have. I'm trusting. If you have not, will you today? Will you today say, I agree, I'm a sinner, I'm enslaved, I need a Savior. Lord, save me. If you'd like to make that commitment for the first time today, just raise your hand and say, I need to trust Jesus as my Savior. Will you make that? Say, trust, I want to trust Jesus as my Savior. Father, I thank You for giving us a Savior in Jesus Christ. And I thank You for the fullness of His love for us. I thank You for the power of these promises that You are still changing me. I'm sorry I'm so slow. I pray for my brothers and sisters that You would quicken our hearts, that we'd be people who'd get into the book and let the book get into us, and that we would be transformed. And Father, I pray for some who today have come here and they are so frustrated with that particular thing. You know what it is. Would You remind them of the principle and the promise that applies to their problem? And I thank You that You will set them free. In the name of Jesus Christ, the truth, the life, and the way, I ask this. Amen.